Blog Talk Radio.
Joshua chapter 1. We'll take a few minutes tonight to underscore and emphasize the concept that you already know. But it is important for us who are going to become champions. You have to work at it knowledgeably, frequently. Isn't it amazing that a basketball player will have played basketball in elementary school, in junior high school, and college? And then he has played in the NBA for 12 years. The court has not changed its size. The height of the goal has not changed. The size of the ball and the size of the rim has not changed. None of those factors have changed, but yet they practice hours a day. Because not only is it necessary to go through the routine to get where you need to be, it is important to go through the routine in order to stay there. And so if we're going to really rise to the level of being a champion, we actually have to hear this over and over again. Some of us are not totally convinced the first time we hear it. And then it is so easy for us to wander away from what we have been convinced that really works. No doubt every person here tonight could truthfully say that at some point I embraced a routine that produced what I wanted it to do. But for some reason, I've stopped. How did that happen? We must be constantly reminded. And it is for that reason that we talk again tonight about how to become a champion for God. And what I want to do tonight is take Joshua and show you that God made him a champion by doing the very same thing that he did with Gideon. Remember, we must position ourselves to hear success words. And then we must power ourselves to speak success words. We must continually position ourselves to constantly hear. We must continually power ourselves to constantly speak. Then we move from the ears and the mouth to the eyes. Then images become important. And we must continually position ourselves. We must continually position ourselves to see success images constantly. Now, this morning we talked about that with Gideon. And let's look tonight at Joshua. God used images to transform Joshua into a champion for him. Joshua had been Moses' servant. Joshua became the leader after Moses had unsuccessfully ushered the Israelites into the land of Canaan. And you must be some kind of a leader when you take all the responsibility from your mentor and he failed. You've got to be some kind of a champion to have the courage to take over the assignment when the very person that have trained you have failed. Imagine growing up in your parents, your father, had a family business. And all of your life, you have seen that business just keep failing. And now you got to take it over. Well, that's some kind of an assignment. But Joshua, it doesn't appear that Joshua had any doubt, had any hesitation at all, as he stepped into the place where God wanted him to be. And so what God did with Joshua, he allowed Joshua to position himself to see success images. Now, what I want you to notice is that before God assigned him this responsibility, Joshua saw success images. Could it be that God, in his own wisdom, was training Joshua for his role long before he gave him the assignment? Notice in your Bible, Exodus chapter 17. Here is a success image that Joshua had seen long before he became the leader. Moses was yet alive, but God allowed Joshua to see this. There was a time when the Israelites were out in battle, and near the end of the evening, they began to wear weary. And Moses had said to Joshua, "Go and fight, and I'll station myself on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." Joshua 17. Now look at verse 11. "So it came about when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed." Now Joshua is in training. God allows him to see we're in battle. Moses is stationed up on the hill. And when we look up at Moses, and when Moses is holding up his hand, we are succeeding. But when Moses gets tired and his hands fall down beside him, they lose in the valley. Joshua saw that. Now notice what they decided to do. Verse 12, "But Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other, and thus his hands were steady until the sun set." What is God doing with Joshua? Listen, he is giving him a success image. That when my people, here's what God is getting Joshua to see, that when my people support each other according to my word, I will always give them the victory.
Amen.
Now that's a very powerful message. That's true for us. That's true for us here at Graceview. That when we support each other according to the word of God, then God will give us the victory. And so Joshua saw this success image, and he saw this success image before God selected him with his particular assignment to do. Now I want you to notice quickly Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. All right, Joshua chapter 1, and notice another success image. This image will escape your notice if you don't pay very close attention. Because one of the things that God does, he not only paints a vivid picture by what it actually goes into our eyes, but sometimes he creates a canvas on our mind. And he does it so vividly by asking us to envision with our eyes. Now look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse 2. "Moses, my servant, is dead." Well, let's go back to verse 1. "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead.'" Now, that's what God's saying to Joshua. Now, what do you think that's going to do? That's going to cause Joshua to envision Moses being dead. Now, notice what he said. He said, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. Now, what image did Joshua receive when the Lord said this? Remember, Joshua was one of the 12 spies that Moses had sent up earlier to spy out the land. And when they went up then, the Lord said, I'm going to give you all of the land in which the soles of your feet shall tread. So as God says this to Joshua, it's going to bring back a remembrance of the land that he saw. You know, the land that he went up in, and they brought back some produce from the land, and the bunches of grapes, the clusters of grapes were so large, it took two men to carry them. Man, that's some kind of cluster. And so God places in the mind of Joshua, positions him again to see images of success. Because now Joshua is going to envision the land that we walked on once before. We're going to walk on it again. The last time we walked on it, the enemies of the people of God were in control. But this time, the enemies of the people of God will have been dispossessed. And we're going to walk on that land that God's given us, and it's not going to take us long to get there. What is God doing with Joshua? He is giving Joshua success images. Success images. All right? And so we've got to position ourselves to see success images. Catch it? All right. Then the second thing, we've got to power ourselves to show success images. God's very demonstrative and creative. Somewhere along the line in our 20th century mindset, we have drawn the conclusion that God's not demonstrative. He is just, you know, quiet and easy flowing. But God's very demonstrative. Now, in fact, he does some things that just baffles the human mind. And everything that God does, for the most part, he illustrates it in a very dynamic way. I mean, he's just some kind of illustrator. All right, now notice what image Joshua began to show. Turn in your Bible to Numbers chapter 14. He began to show Numbers 14 and verse 5. After he called Joshua, rather before he assigned Joshua the assignment, Joshua had learned to show images of success. Numbers 14 and verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in the presence of all the assembly of the congregation of the sons of Israel. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Zephaniah, of those who had spied out the land, what did they do? They tore their clothes. Now isn't that something? What do you think if you see some people tearing their clothes? You would say they have lost it. They've lost it. They tore their clothes. Well, what does tearing one's clothes indicate? It's an indicator of repentance, but it's an indicator of an outright disgust with oneself. And so here is Joshua. He is tearing their clothes. And really, what he is agonizing over, his inability to have convinced the others to enter the land of Canaan. So he's disgusted. It's like, I'm so disgusted I didn't convince you guys to go. I'm just disgusted with my inability, because we are well able to enter. And so Joshua was one who had a habit of showing images of success. Notice what he did after he tore his clothes in verse number 7.
And they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. And if the Lord is pleased with us. Look at the person sitting next to you and say, if the Lord is pleased with us. Listen, now listen. God's victories are actually easy to come by. All Joshua said, if the Lord is pleased with us, then what will happen? He'll give us the victory.
Yeah,
so all we have to do is make sure that the Lord is pleasing to us, that we are pleasing to him, rather. So all we have to do, even as grace viewers, make sure that we are pleasing the Lord. As an individual, make sure that you are pleasing the Lord. See, here is the advantage that the believer has over the non-believer. The non-believer has to focus on all of the strategies by which I have to manipulate everybody that's involved. But the believer only has to consider, all I have to do is to be pleasing to God, and God will pull the chains behind the scenes. Isn't that a whole lot easier? Because what you do today to get favor with the person may not work tomorrow. Listen, you gave a person a cup of coffee yesterday and they thought that was great. You gave them a cup of coffee today and they wanted iced tea. So you didn't get the favor. So it's just so much easier to please God and then let God pull all of the strings behind the scenes.
Right.
That is so much easier to do.
That's right.
Because see, God is going to be consistent. And then all you have to do is just make sure I please the Lord. Just to make sure I please the Lord. So whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish, make sure out front you please the Lord.
That's right.
Just please the Lord, and God knows which door to open. You know, there's a game show. I don't know what it's called. I think I remember seeing this at some point. I might be having a flashback to my youthful days. But there was a game show, and you have to select what's behind, or you have to select a particular door, and you get what's behind the door. Isn't that
right?
That's called the prices, right? It's called what? Let's make a deal. Okay. Okay. So there are two shows that do that again. You look at the prices, right, and get behind the door, and you look at let's make a deal. All right. Now, and there are some times when people select a door. And they are disappointed. And then there are times when they are very glad. Now see, God always knows what's behind the door. So all we have to do is just please the Lord, and then he'll raise up the door.
That's right.
So we don't have to play the guessing game. And see, that's what Joshua is trying to communicate. He says that we're pleasing to him. Don't rebel, just honor the Lord. And it becomes exciting when you watch the Lord just open doors.
Amen.
And then you have to remember that. All right? So Joshua showed success images. Now I want you to turn over quickly to Joshua chapter 3. I'm going to share two other things with you, and then we're going to close out this lesson tonight. Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3 and verse number 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning. He and all the sons of Israel set out from Shittim and came to the Jordan. And they lodged there before they crossed. At the end of the 3 days, the officers went through the midst of the camp. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, with the Levitical priests carrying it, then you shall set out from the place and go after it. Set out from the place and go after it. Now notice what Joshua does. He shows images of success. Remember the Ark of the Covenant. That golden chest that contained three items. It contained the showbread that never spoiled. It contained a copy of the Word of God. But it also contained Aaron's rod that had budded. And wherever the Ark of the Covenant was, the favorable presence of God existed there. You remember when they were transporting the Ark on a cart one day, and the oxen stumbled, and and a person put his hand on the cart to keep it from falling, and God killed him.
That's right.
They were afraid of the ark, so they took that ark, and for years it went into the residence of a man by the name of Obed-Edom, who was not even an Israelite, and God just blessed his house. Simply because the ark was there. So wherever the ark was, the favor of God was there. And so Joshua said to the people, said, we're walking in view of the favor of God. So when you see the ark, he said, I don't get too close to it. Keep you about 1,200 cubits from it. Don't get too close. Now, why would he tell people, you know, somebody was going to go up and touch it. Somebody just have to touch it. And he was protecting them. So keep your 1,200 cubits, and when you see it, go after it. Don't let it get out of your sight. See, he is showing success images. Now turn quickly to Joshua chapter 6. See, you need to have some success that you are following. All right? And then notice, listen to this. You need to have a movable success image that you follow. You need to have a movable success image that you follow, that leads you along the journey. Listen, God's always done that with his people. You remember when he brought them out of Egypt? They followed what? A pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. Listen, even when the wise men came to find where Jesus was when he was born, they saw his star in the east. And that star came and stood over the place where he was born. God's always provided success images that lead us to the place where we ought to be.
Amen.
Yeah, always. And then you need to have some stationary success images. Look at Joshua chapter 6. Jericho was tightly shut up because of the sons of Israel. No one went out, no one came in. The Lord said to Joshua, see, I've given Jericho into your hand with its king and the valiant warriors. You shall march around the city, all the men of war circling the city once. You shall do it for 6 days. And also 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. Then on the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It will be that when you make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all of the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up every man straight ahead. Listen, that's a success image. Every time Joshua went out and saw the walls of Jericho having fallen down, that's a success image.
Right.
Now, I'm told by a good friend of mine who has visited the city of Jericho, whether this is true or not, but he indeed declares it is, the miracle of God is still powerful. Because I'd always read that story and envisioned that the wall fell down. You know, really, we envisioned the wall fell over. But he said to me, no, the walls sank into the earth. They fell down. And when he visited Jericho, he said, the walls are still in the earth. Now, that's some kind of powerful God.
Amen.
You know, you might can take a bulldozer and push it over, but only God can let it fall down. And then I thought, you know, that's what the text said. So why did I think like that? See, we have to make sure we envision the true image of what God's doing. The walls fell down. Listen, if the walls fell over, they would still have provided an obstacle for the people of God to enter the city. Because it would all have been all of the rubble and all. But if they fell down into the earth, then we just walk right on over. Man, that's some kind of success. So Joshua shows images of success. And if you're going to be a champion for God, then that's what you've got to do. And you've got to continually see images of success. You got to continually see images of success, and you got to constantly show images of success. So what are some success images that's in your environment that you regularly see? You ever wonder why people go to D.C. and just admire the Statue of Liberty? Now, it doesn't really mean a whole lot to us because our folks were born here. But the people who weren't born here, it's a success image because when they were traveling across the ocean and when they finally saw the Statue of Liberty, they then and only then believed we're going to make it safely ashore.
Mm-hmm.
See, we've always been safely ashore. But those who came from a great distance, when they saw the Statue of Liberty, we cannot even envision the joy that rose in their hearts when they saw the Statue of Liberty. Listen, when you see the Statue of Liberty, it probably only reminds you of Liberty Tax Service. That's probably what it reminds you of, the person standing out trying to get you to bring your tax returns in there. But I'm telling you, if you ever have a chance to talk to a person that came over or heard the stories of their ancestors, and then when they finally saw. Listen, if you've ever been out at sea, any Navy people in here, anybody in the Navy, you ever been out at sea? Especially if you have been out there for a while. When you finally see the land, it's a good feeling. This is as close as I've been to that. I went deep sea fishing once. Was out there 6 hours. Just about everybody else on the boat got sick. I didn't get sick, praise the Lord. But after 6 hours, I had enough of that up and down in the Atlantic Ocean. And I'm telling you, when we finally started the 3-hour journey home, and when land came to sight, and when I finally got on land, I decided then I'll wait until you bring me the red snappers to shore. Hadn't been back again. Matter of fact, I went on a cruise once, and the person who went with me, when we finally, well, that's Priscilla for y'all who look slow. When we finally got to shore, I looked at her and said, "Would you go on another cruise right now for $10,000? She said, "I wouldn't go, not now." I wouldn't have either. I enjoyed it, but when I got to land. And that is small in comparison to the people who have been months and days at sea, never really knowing whether or not they were going to make it safely. You talk to some of the Haitians who not only did they not know they were going to make it, but even when they got here, they didn't know whether somebody was going to take them back or not. Listen, they didn't feel relief until 2 days later when they woke up and nobody knew where they were. And so I'm telling you, the images of success, powerful. Powerful motivator. And so as people set out to come to America, in their mind, they are looking for the image of the Statue of Liberty. Because when they see it, that means we've gotten here. We have gotten here safely. And so if you're going to be a champion, you got to see and show. You got to see and show images of success. When you do that, God will transform you into a champion. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, the cross is an image of success. Because that means Jesus successfully navigated the treacherous path and made it to Jerusalem. You ever wondered what would have happened if Jesus had been killed in Samaria? You ever really thought about what would have happened? Then we'd still be in our sins.
That's right.
If the Pharisees and the scribes and the Romans, if they could have put him to death anywhere except on the cross. So the cross is a success image. He made it. And then the empty tomb is a success image. Mm-hmm. Listen, let me tell you how powerful the empty tomb is. You remember when Peter and the disciples were coming and
They heard that Jesus had arisen. One of the disciples stooped, looked, and went in and didn't see the body of Jesus. And what did they do? They ran to tell the rest of the world, he is risen.
Yeah.
And then the Lord's Supper is a success image.
Mm-hmm.
So God has actually filled our songs with success images. He has filled our worship with success images. That's why we ought to sing that song with enthusiasm. I still have joy. After all the things I've been through, I still have joy. See, that's a success image.
Amen.
That the devil didn't kill us and didn't defeat us, and we still have joy. And then we sing, all of my trials, I'll tell them to the Lord.
Amen.
And then my burden's there, but he'll give me the strength and the stamina. And to be able to say, I'm still standing after all the things I've been through. Listen, success images. And so that's why we need to share those, and you need to communicate with your spiritual meditation partner. You know, on one of those days when your spiritual meditation partner is down in the dumps, just call them up on the phone and just sing, I still have joy after all the things I've been through. Well, I'm telling you, that's powerful. See, God has given his people something that raises us to the champion level above those who are not his people.
Amen.
But guess what? Listen. If you have food in the refrigerator and it never gets in your stomach, you'll starve to death like people who have none in their refrigerator.
Amen.
And so if we do not use the things of God, we then deprive ourselves and place ourselves as helplessly as those who are not the people of God.
That's right.
And in many instances, we've done a poor job at using the things of God.
Amen. That's
right. Tonight, if you want to be a champion, position yourself to see, power yourself to show. If you need to respond, do it now as together we stand and sing a song of encouragement.